Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, and I'm Lee Brown, your hostess with the stories that you just can't stand going another minute without hearing, because you too are here to hear things you've never heard before. Now, one of the angles of real estate that is really underestimated and underappreciated, frankly, is the property management space, because a lot of y'all listening have decided never to own an investment property because you're so afraid of that Pacific Heights story. Do you remember that movie, Pacific Heights, had like Michael Keaton in it, was all creepy? So that kept you from renting, and you forgot that there's professional property managers that can make you an investor without having to throw up every day. And today we're going to have one of those amazing property managers on the show. Her name is Amy Hedgecock, and she's from High Point, North Carolina. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lee. Good to be here.
All right. So tell the world who you are, and frankly, tell them how you landed in property management, because it's not really the chosen spot for real estate.
Oh, sure. I'm here for the fame and glory. No, I'm a third generation property manager. My grandfather started this company that I work at. My mother was here. My uncle was here. And now I'm in running the show.
Okay. So you're in High Point, North Carolina. And by the way, you people listening don't know this, but she has been president of the North Carolina Realtors, which is kind of a big deal in realtor world. If you are not involved in realtor world, you don't know what a big deal that is. You should reach out, because we'll teach you how much fun it is to be involved. But that's not even why she's here. I just had to give you all that because she's awesome. So Amy, you know the ground rules of the podcast. And I know that in property management, it's probably going to be harder for you to abide by this than any of our normal residential people. But we can use salty language. Just don't fall into the traps of the F words, GDs, and see you next Tuesdays, because that's just too much for my little sensitive ears. And when there's guilty people involved, let's use fake names and not their real names. So with that being said, you told me that there's a story that has so many crazy details in it that it's just a standalone. So I can't wait to hear the whole kit and caboodle.
It is, but it does have a good lesson, a good real estate lesson here. And so I'll let you and your listeners listen up to what are the red flags that they might see when this is first starting, right?
It's like the Where's Waldo podcast episode. Okay, so listen, people, if you send me a message that you spotted all the red flags before Amy called them all out at the end, I'll send you a prize. And I'm not going to tell you what the prize is, because frankly, I'll have to go look in my office and figure out what it's going to be. So red flag spotters, go.
Okay, so I'm in property management, as we have already discussed. We have about 500 units that are mainly single family, but I do have some smaller apartment buildings. Part of the job that I really enjoy is taking a lot of properties and making them better and getting a better return on investment for my investors. So I'm not ever really afraid of a challenge, or I wasn't before this happened. And I guess now I'm a little gun shy. But at a time, we had California investors just buying up real estate like crazy over here, I guess, because it's so much less expensive than it is in California. And they thought it was just an amazing deal. We have a LLC that purchases about a 30-unit apartment building. They use a realtor to purchase, and I don't believe the seller had a realtor either. I believe it was both of them were just investors that thought that they knew what all was going on, and they bought this property sight unseen. And I got brought in to be the manager after it was purchased. I go out to the property and take pictures and just do an exterior look at it at first, because we haven't got the keys yet. I don't have the rent rolls yet. I don't have a delinquency report yet. But just looking at it, there is a lot of deferred maintenance just going around the outside.
And by the way, if you're a normal person listening to this episode and you're not a real estate professional, you should know that deferred maintenance is a code word for holy smokes, look at the rotted wood and the busted windows and the repair work needed. So anyway, go ahead, Amy.
No, you're right on, Lee. That's exactly what it means.
You said it so nicely, though.
I'm trying to use my good language here. So I get in touch with the owners, the new owners now, and you know, they tell me, oh yeah, we know we're going to have to put some money into it, and it's fine. We're prepared to do that. I said, okay. So I start getting the rent rolls. They're telling me this place is 100% rented. And I noticed that there are, as I'm putting it into our system, there are apartments missing from this rent roll that I've been sent. So yes, it looks like it's 100% rented, but there's only 23 units on this 30 unit property that's been shown. And I don't know why the owners didn't catch this, but I pointed out to them and, you know, they assure me that that's okay. Just, you know, something must be vacant and just go ahead and, you know, rent those apartments instead of, said, okay. We get into these units to start going through the vacant ones. There's heat missing in almost every vacant unit. The units that aren't vacant have, you know, they have tenants in them, have some serious issues, habitability issues going on inside. And I'm sending reports to these owners, just letting them know, you guys better come up with the funds because this is not going to be an easy project. This is not something we can just, you know, ignore, especially not with the tenants in place and their electrical system's not working, or they don't have heat, or their floors are falling in. So they did send some money and we took care of the immediate. I was running like a triage. It was bad. I could not keep people out of the units that were vacant. So we did end up hiring off-duty police officers to go sit and just watch.
Was that your nice way of saying squatters?
Yes. Yes. I gave the police a list of all the vacant units and just told them if they saw anybody going in or out of those units, you know, arrest them, you know, get them. So my clients, after a couple of months and they're not sending me enough money. They're just telling me to use basically the rent proceeds to take care of these issues. And there is not enough rent proceeds to take care of all of the issues that there are. And with all of the, you know, half the units vacant. Oh, by the way, that's the other thing. They didn't get a delinquency list. So yeah, some of those were rented, but they weren't paying rent. So I had to go ahead and clean house on about half the building. we got it. So I'm going, all right, guys, you know, this is, we're all getting very frustrated with each other. They're getting frustrated with me for not being able to rent this place because obviously there's something wrong with me, and I'm getting frustrated with them because they weren't keeping up their end of the deal with sending money to get this place up and running. And I've been passed off from member of the LLC to member of the LLC because none of them really want to handle this issue. Finally, one of them comes in and he's like, I'm going to fly into town. I say, okay, good. I think that is a brilliant idea for you to actually come see your property that you've invested in. So I don't go down to this place alone. I'm not a real skittish person, but I do not go without the police that we hire to be off duty there. It is just not a safe place to be. So I set it up with our police officer to make sure he's there when we come out. And, you know, this little suit and tied guy from California, looks like he's like 14, comes in and has his hands on his hips and he's looking real proud of himself. And he's like, you know, this place isn't so bad.
Are you going to move, like, in there, dude?
I don't know where in California you're from, man, but this is not great. So I introduce him to the police officer, and the police officer gleefully pulls out his phone and decides that now is a good time for him to show this guy a YouTube video. And this is this is not language that I would use, but this is what it is called on YouTube, should your viewers want to look it up. Ghetto Fights of High Point.
What? Are you serious? Okay. This exists?
This exists. One of the star videos in that is outside of my apartment building. And so the police officer's pulling it out and showing it to him and like, look, this is your apartment. And, you know, already I'm like feeling a little bit vindicated. Notice that there's this scrawny little woman following us around. I have an idea of what she does for a living. We inherited her with the property. And I'll just say that her amateur status was highly in doubt. She's a professional. You know what I'm saying?
But Amy, I think what you meant is that she's an entrepreneur.
She is.
Of sorts.
Of sorts. So she's following us around. She's about 20 feet behind us, has been following us around for most of the day. Car full of gentlemen ride by and shout at her and call her name and what they'd like to be doing with her. And I kid you not, Lee, she turns around and says, I'm not working today.
Did this make it into the videos on YouTube? Because this sounds like a really, really good one for that section. I didn't know High Point had this side to it. Y'all are supposed to be the furniture capital, but I guess that falls in with needing bedding, right?
Girl, we've got our own issues. Every town has their seedy underbelly.
Hey, just kidding, people. If you're listening and you're from High Point, we love High Point. I'm just fascinated because I'm sure this exists for Concord too. Charlotte definitely has its own world. But anyway, we got distracted that she turned around and said, I ain't working today.
Well, we got...
That's self-care, though. Taking a day off is self-care.
It is. It is. It's important for your mental health. So we go into this one unit. We just busted out. Apparently, feral cats have taken up to living there. Yeah, there's one that's dead and melted into the floor. It was really, really awful.
When you mentioned there was a cat in the store, you didn't mention he was melted into the floor, just for the record. That was an unspoken detail, listeners, that Amy just snuck in on us. So if you're also having the mental image, just brain bleach. So let's just bleach it for a second. All right. So it's a melted cat and a lady of the night. And what else? What else, Amy?
Oh, no, we're keeping on rolling. So my client hasn't said much up to this point. We're still going through some of the vacant units. And so here's a pro tip, and I'm sure that a lot of your listeners know it. If you are in a vacant unit, the power is off, and there's a refrigerator in there, what do you never, ever, ever do?
Come on, people. This should obviously be on your little red flag cheat sheet that you're keeping right now, because I'm up to like 14 right now. And we all know the answer is never, ever, 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 ever open a refrigerator that is not humming.
That's exactly right. Ever. So, of course, he did. And it looked like took me back to when I went through basic training and they put you in that room with the gas and, you know, everybody's looking really awful and terrible. Yeah, that's what happened to him. And I laughed so hard. It was just terrible. I probably shouldn't have laughed, but at this point.
What else are you going to do? You going to cry? I mean, you know.
At this point in the day, I think everything was just, it was just getting a little bonkers. Finally, we went to the last row of apartments. And at this point, our lady of the evening comes up and hands my client a knife.
Oh, are we talking like a butter knife or maybe something slightly more aggressive?
Something more aggressive. Handed it to him and he looked at her and just kind of laughed and said, what's this for? And she said, it's to protect yourself if y'all are going in that unit. And he kind of laughed uncomfortably, you know, and she was like, I'm not kidding. You're going to need that. And he looks at me and he was like, should we still go in? And I said, well, you're the one with the knife. I mean, go, you know. It's all you, buddy. We skipped that unit, told the police officers, please check it out. That was pretty much my day. I think shortly thereafter, my clients did sell the property at a loss. I did decline to take on management with the new owner. So
you're nice like that, though. You're trying to share the business opportunities with other managers in the market because you really, I mean, you can't hoard all the opportunities for yourself. It's just not fair.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, I can't, you know, take all of it. Somebody's got to do other stuff. That was my crazy day.
Look, write down your red flags. My favorite red flag, though, Amy, frankly, is the fact that they had no records on their building. I mean, these buyers bought it sight unseen, and you weren't right. representing anybody, so there's nothing you could have done to help them in the run-up to the purchase of this building. But people, if you're buying an investment somewhere, the least you should get on it are rent rolls, delinquency reports, even a nice P&L. I like to see a P&L so I know when the mechanicals have been updated before right. I buy something. And buying it without getting your due diligence done is as much your responsibility as it is the realtor who represents you. And then if you're being unrepresented, then just don't be stupid. Ask lots and lots of questions. And if the numbers don't add up, don't buy it because these people sold it at a loss because they did not do their homework up front.
That's exactly right. And you would be really surprised at how often we take over management of places that are not able to give us just the basics. We're starting at behind the eight ball and having to kind of catch up because we're not getting rent rolls or we're not getting delinquency reports and the owners don't have them. And, you know, that's a lot of what professional management is. And I'm really glad to help people with that in my line of work, to help them be able to turn a profit if they can on their investments. This one, unfortunately, did not work out, but we were just, it was kind of a nightmare.
Well, it was so far behind when you got there. I mean, sometimes you can't get back to ground zero unless something more aggressive were to take place, like an aggressive owner who comes in and dumps the money in to make it right. And I'll tell right. you, tell you too, you listeners, if you've been listening to 80s episodes, you already know that I am an investor in addition to being a realtor. I own a lot of properties and I do not manage them myself because it's also wise to have somebody managing your investments that does not have an emotional tie to them. And I know y'all are thinking, Lee Brown, nobody gets emotional about rental houses. And you'd be surprised how many
oh, yes.
investors from California have done just what Amy describes. They buy property sight unseen. It's time to sell it. And then they get all emotional. They're like, but I put the carpet in, but I did this. I'm like, y'all act like you lived there and raised the children there because we are used to that in residential. But it happens in the rental side too, which is why you need a third party like an Amy to be the cool, calm, level head that says, look, here's the situation. Here's your options. We're going to have to deal with this. And so there is a huge need, if you're going to be an investor and do it well, to have a professional property manager to guide you in that process. And it's not something that you want to shortcut. And don't be acting like you need to keep that extra few points of percentage in your cash flow, because you will pay the price long term if somebody's not there to be your eyes and ears and to professionally guide you through what to do.
And I'll add one more point. If you are a realtor who is working with an investor, but you don't engage in property management, have a property manager that you know and you could talk to. I mean, just to ask them, you know, what they think about how much the rent could be on this property or whatever. Because if you've got a client who doesn't know the area and you're representing them and you're not helping them in that direction either, they could be purchasing a property and paying more for it than what they're going to be able to get back out of rents.
Absolutely. And this is where I will harp again on staying in your lane. I mean, you see realtors that say, oh, well, I sold them the house, so I'll just manage it for them because I don't want to give away that piece of business. When if you don't have a good understanding of how property management works, plus don't forget the laws that go along with property management that are different than residential real estate, and the trust accounts and the software to account for all the deposits and how things work, you need that relationship. That's the best advice you've been given on this episode, is if you're a realtor, get a good relationship going with a property manager. And by the same token, if you're a property manager and you don't do the buying and selling every day, you should have a relationship with a residential or commercial realtor so that y'all can be a holistic resource for the people who own these properties so that they understand every angle. And that's what makes us really good, is when we understand our expertise and lean into it and don't try to be things for naught.
Absolutely.
All right, Amy, if somebody needs a professional property manager in the High Point area, or just needs one and doesn't know one in their market and would like a recommendation from somebody like you, or if they need to invest in properties and have questions and all the things that people might need to know from you, how can they find you?
My email address is amyhedgecock@gmail.com. My work website is www.fowler-fowler.com, or they can call me at 336-883-1333.
And you can text her too, because she's like young and stuff and knows how to text. And it's okay, because y'all didn't write any of her stuff down, because I know y'all and I love you. So all of her information is in the show notes for this episode, so that when you're listening to this and sweating to the oldies, you can so click later and then reach out to Amy with any questions that you have, because you'll find out exactly how professional property management is supposed to work. Amy, thank you so much, not just for coming on the podcast today and telling us quite a story with really good visuals, because not everybody can tell with good visuals. So high five to you for doing that. Thank you for the sheer volume of time and energy and intellect you have poured into other realtors, even when they don't know the work that you've done for them. I appreciate all that you have done and are continuing to do.
I appreciate you too, Lee. Everything that you do and continue to do.
All right, people, you got a story? You want to top the hooker with a day off and the melting cat? Then you should tweet me at Lee Brown on Twitter. Hit me at any of the social networks, whether you're a broker, investor, inspector, lender, realtor, or just a regular buyer or seller of real estate who says, I can top that. Reach out to be featured in an episode in the future. Make sure you subscribe for more, because frankly, I don't know what's coming next, and neither do you. So that's worth tuning in for. And until then, we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.